Happy Easter, everybody. It's great to be with you this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to Redemption Community Church. My name is Jeremy Ziegler. I'm the lead pastor here, and I'm just so glad you could be with us this morning. We especially, once again, want to welcome all of you who are with us for the first time. If you are a first-time guest, please just make yourself at home, and please do, as Joe mentioned before, find that Connect card, fill it out. You can take it and drop it off at our guest services table right out in the lobby on the left. It's just a great way for us to stay connected with you, get to know you. Find out what we can do to serve you and help you get more involved in our church. We promise not to show up at your house or send you a bunch of junk mail or anything like that. We just want to connect with you. So take a moment to do that. We have a gift to say thanks for being our guest. And we're just so glad that all of you could be here today. Welcome, welcome, welcome. What a glorious Easter day and a great day to be together in church this morning. Well, our kids did a great job. Wow, to be a kid at Easter time, I tell you. Kids have got it made, man. The Easter egg hunts and the chocolate bunnies. My wife, she took our kids out yesterday. They had their Easter baskets, and they had a great time. And I didn't get anything. I didn't get a chocolate bunny. But the boys all got chocolate bunnies, and they were actually nice enough to share with Dad. So I came out doing all right. It was pretty awesome. Yeah, I was excited. So I'm still in a little bit of a sugar rush today, but that's okay. I need it. So, you know, speaking of kids, I recently heard the story of a Catholic priest who was teaching his 10-year-old catechism class, and he asked the kids, you know, tell me what you know about Easter. And one little girl raised her hand, and she said, well, Easter, that's the time when they hide all the Easter eggs and we go have an Easter egg hunt. They said, well, yeah, that's nice, but that's not really the real meaning of Easter. And then another little girl raised her hand, and she said, I know. And he said, okay, you tell me. She said, Easter is when I get a big chocolate bunny. And the priest said, well, you know, chocolate bunnies are really nice, but that's not what Easter's really about. And then one little boy raised his hand and he said, I know. And the priest called on him and he said, on Good Friday, Jesus was crucified. And the priest said, okay, good. Now tell me more. And he said, then on the next day, they took Jesus and they placed him in a tomb in a cave and they rolled a boulder in front of it. Then the priest started to get a little bit excited, like one of these kids is finally getting it and paying attention in class, right? He said, and tell me what happens next. And he said, then on Easter Sunday, the boulder was rolled away and Jesus came out of the tomb. Well, now the priest can barely contain himself. He's so excited that one of these kids is finally getting it. And he said to the kid, now tell me what happens next. He said, well, then Jesus comes out and if he sees his shadow, we're going to have 6 more weeks of winter. Not quite. But Easter is all about the resurrection. All jokes aside, we're here today because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the very heart, the very foundation of what Easter is about. I'm telling you, without the resurrection, Christianity is powerless. The power that we have for new life is the power of the resurrected Christ. Amen? And that's why we're gathered together here today. I believe the resurrection is the ultimate symbol of hope. It's the greatest symbol of hope. I mean, the idea that Jesus rose from the dead and he invites all of us who place our trust in him, our faith in him, who follow him to share in his resurrected life. I can't think of any other greater hope for the world than the resurrection. And I think there's one thing that all of us have in common today. No matter where you are in this spiritual journey today, whether you consider yourself to be a committed believer, or maybe you're just kind of here checking out church, or you're here visiting with family and friends, whether you're single, whether you're a young person, whether you're retired or divorced, wherever you are in life, I think we all have one thing in common. We all have hopes for our lives, don't we? We all have hopes, I think, for an even a better life, I would say. We have hopes that we're going to find love. We have hopes that our lives are going to be filled with purpose and meaning. We have hopes that our lives are going to be significant, that our lives will make a difference in somebody else's life, make an impact in somebody else's life, and having lived on this planet, our lives made a difference. Don't we hope for that? We have hopes that we're going to have a meaningful career. How many of you have a hope for a meaningful career? Maybe you're up for a job change. You say, I'd like to have a more meaningful career. Or maybe you're a parent today and your hopes are that your kids will grow up to be good human beings and do something great with their lives. I think it's something that we all have in common, hopes for our lives. But let's be honest, there are times when life has a way of crushing our hopes, doesn't it? Have you ever had a season of life or been through a time in your life when it felt like your hopes and your dreams were crushed like they died? Have you ever felt that way before? Some of you have been there before. Maybe it was your marriage. Maybe you went through a time of brokenness in your marriage. Maybe you've been through divorce. Maybe you're going through that right now. And you say, Pastor Jeremy, I know exactly what you're talking about. I know what it feels like to have my hopes and my dreams crushed. Maybe for you it was your career. Maybe you had a dream job and you lost it or it didn't work out. Or maybe you had a business venture that you went into and you had so much hopes for what that was going to become and it went south and it didn't work out. Or maybe it was a loved one, somebody that you truly cared for that you lost. I think we've probably all been there before when we've had dreams die, where we've had life crush our hopes. And what I want to say to you today is that we have hope on Easter, because what we find is that there are times when people would come along and say, common sense would say that you just have to let it go. Common sense would say that you just have to let that thing die and let it go. But there's something wonderful we see about Jesus in the scriptures. Jesus often defied common sense. Many times Jesus defied common sense. And I want to look at one of those stories today. I want to look at a situation that seemed hopeless, but Jesus saw things differently. He saw redemptive potential, because I believe that Jesus looks at situations that seem hopeless at times, and he sees redemptive potential. I want to look at a story from John chapter 11, where we read about the death of a man named Lazarus. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to John chapter 11, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. That's the fourth gospel in the New Testament, the second half of the Bible. Or maybe you have your tablet or your smartphone. If you want to find John chapter 11, we're going to look at the story of Lazarus, a hopeless situation where Jesus saw hope, where Jesus saw things differently. And I'm going to give you a little background just to save us some time today about Lazarus. Lazarus was a dear friend of Jesus, one of his closest friends. In fact, the scriptures that we read in the opening verses of chapter 11 tell us that Jesus loved Lazarus. He was like a brother to Jesus. Lazarus lived with his sisters, Mary and Martha, in a little town called Bethany, right outside of Jerusalem. And Jesus was so close to this family that the final week of his life, Passion Week, the week that Jesus would go to Jerusalem and be crucified, he actually stayed with this family the very last week of his life. He would travel from Jerusalem back to their home in Bethany. In the opening verses of chapter 11, we find out that Lazarus was gravely ill, and they sent messengers to Jesus to let him know. So sick that Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death, but it will end with God receiving glory, with the Son of God being glorified. Jesus recognized that Lazarus was gravely ill. And yet Jesus remained where he was for 2 days. And within that span of time, Lazarus passed away. And so we pick up in verse 17, John chapter 11, verse 17. I'm reading from the NIV today. Jesus goes to Bethany to comfort Mary and Martha, Lazarus's sisters. We're going to read verses 17 through 27. It says, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, listen to these words, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And then Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, he who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. So Jesus shows up in verse 17. He comes to comfort Mary and Martha. And the scripture says that when Jesus arrived, Lazarus had already been dead for 4 days. So most likely Lazarus died sometime soon after the messengers had come to him to bring him the news that Lazarus is sick. Because by the time Jesus gets there, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Now, many Jews held the belief that the soul hovered around the body for 3 days in hopes that the soul might return to the body. But as we can see here, Lazarus was dead for 4 days. So if they had that thought in mind, all hope was gone. Lazarus was dead. There was no hope for his return. And then we see this interesting exchange between Martha and Jesus in verses 21 through 22. Listen to this. She says, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Interesting interaction here with Jesus. Martha says, you know, Jesus, if you had just been here, my brother wouldn't have died. I think we can all relate with Martha in some way. I think all of us have probably had some moment, if you're a person of faith, where you said, God, if you would have just been here, God, if you would have just shown up, God, if you would have just done what I expected you to do, when I expected you to do, God, where were you when I needed you? And that's exactly what Martha was feeling at this time. She was disappointed with Jesus, yet she was still a woman of faith. She says, even now I know whatever you ask, God will give to you. So Martha's disappointed in Jesus, but yet she's still a person of faith. And perhaps because she was a person of faith, it's all the more reason she was disappointed. See, people who have no belief in God, there's nothing on the line. There's no risk there. But those of us who trust in God, those of us who place our hope in God, when God doesn't come through on our timetable, there can be some disillusionment. There can be a disappointment at time. And that's exactly what Martha was sensing here. And then let's keep going here. Verse 23. See, Jesus shows up in her situation and he offers her hope. Now, here's the thing. Jesus hadn't done things the way she thought he would do them. Jesus hadn't showed up at the time that Martha thought he was going to show up. But Jesus had come to her in the middle of her brokenness. I think it's so important to see that in the scripture here. Here's Jesus. He shows up in her time of need. Jesus shows up when this family's hurting. He gets right in the middle of their situation. He gets right in the middle of their brokenness and he offers them hope. And that's what Jesus does. Jesus looks at hopeless situations. Jesus looks at us in those times when our hopes have been crushed and he offers us hope. And he gives Martha hope in the form of five words that we read in verse 23. Your brother will rise again. Your brother will rise again. And then look at Martha's response in verse 24. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. See, for all of her brokenness, imagine her disappointment right now, her disillusionment. For all of her brokenness, Martha is still a woman of faith. She's still holding on. She actually has faith that God can pull through. She has faith in the resurrection. Now, you have to understand, the Jewish belief in the resurrection started long before Jesus. The Jewish belief in the resurrection was the hope that one day God was going to resurrect the dead. He was going to judge the world. He was going to set the record straight. It was going to be a time of justice. There was going to be this new age to come where God would fully rule and reign. And it was something that the Jewish people anticipated and looked forward to. And Martha says, I know Lazarus is going to rise again one day just like that. I still believe for that. What she was saying is, I know what I'm supposed to believe. I know my doctrine. I paid attention in Sunday school. I know what the church has taught me about him experiencing eternal life one day, but what difference does that make here and now? See, it seemed like in this moment, Jesus was giving to Martha the very last thing that she needed, a Sunday school lesson. And I think once again, we've all felt like Martha. Have you ever felt like Martha before? Have you ever felt like in that time of need? I know what I learned in church growing up. I know what they taught me in Sunday school and catechism. I know what I'm supposed to believe about God. I know what the doctrine says, but could this gospel be true for here and now, for my situation where I find myself now? I mean, what happens when your dream for your life doesn't turn out the way you had hoped it would, the way you hoped God would give it to you? What happens when life doesn't turn out like you hope? What happens when you make serious mistakes and you hurt people that you love, or people that you loved and trusted hurt you? Does Christianity still work in times like that? That's the question for today. And listen to Jesus's response, and I believe this is his response for all of those lingering questions and doubts that every one of us have. Listen to what he says to Martha in verses 25-26, and Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? And Martha says, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. See, Martha had faith in the promise of a future resurrection, but she had failed to realize that the one who literally embodied resurrection was standing before her. God in the flesh, the creator of life himself, was standing before her, the very one who was able to offer resurrection right here and right now. See, Jesus was able to do in the present what she had only hoped for in the future. She had a future hope. She had a future hope that one day her brother would rise again, but resurrection was standing before her in flesh and blood in the person of Jesus Christ, the very source of resurrection. The Message version of Jesus' words in verse 25 goes like this. Jesus said this, you don't have to wait for the end. I am right now resurrection and life. See, the resurrection was more than a coming prophetic hope for the future, an event. Jesus was saying, I am the one who embodies resurrection and life. I am the one standing before you who is able to bring hope to a hopeless situation. See, Martha had hope, but Jesus called her to a greater hope. Jesus called her to a greater hope, to a greater awareness of who he was. He called Martha to a personal resurrection. Listen to me this morning. That's what Easter is all about. That's what Easter is all about. It's about a Jesus who shows up. It's about an encounter with a risen Christ who calls us to a personal resurrection. And he says, you may believe what you believe. You may know what you're supposed to believe. You know, may know some of the nice lessons that you learned in Sunday school. You may know some of the doctrines of the church. Maybe even you know the hope that Christians believe in eternal life, that one day when they die, it's not the end. And maybe you kind of have a fuzzy kind of, you know, warm and fuzzy cartoon picture in your mind of Christians believe they're going to go to heaven one day and be sitting around on clouds playing harps. And that's really nice, but Easter changes everything because it's an encounter with the risen Lord who offers something here and now, and it's a personal resurrection. I don't know about you. Some of you in this place, you've been through a season of death. You've been through a season where things have deteriorated, where things have died around you. There's been some decay, and you know right now you could use a personal resurrection. And that's what Easter is all about. It's about encountering Jesus who calls us to place our trust in him and to know the life that he offers for the here and now. And so I want to share with you two things that happen when we encounter the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when we encounter and we live the resurrected life. If you have your little note sheet, you might want to take that out. We gave everybody notes. This is a good time to take those out and maybe jot down a few things here. But two things happen when we experience the resurrected life. Here's the first one. Future hope invades the present. Future hope invades the present. Like Martha, I think we all have hope for the future. But Jesus brings that future hope into the present. He brings it into the present. Many of us, no matter what you know about the faith, you believe one day it's all going to work out. Maybe you believe one day, you know, God's going to work this situation out, or in the end, you know, God's going to take care of it, or one day I'll be with God and there won't be these struggles. And you kind of maybe have that faint hope, or at least, you know, that's what Christians believe. But here's the thing. Jesus brings that future hope into the present. And he says that hope impacts the way you live life here and now. The resurrection makes a difference the way we live our lives now. First, we have a present hope. Everybody say present hope. Present hope that death isn't final. That's the hope of the Christian faith. That death isn't final. Easter means Jesus conquers death. It's really good news. You know, the tragedy of the human experience is that we long for transcendence, but we know that every one of us is mortal. Sorry, newsflash for you. Every one of us is going to die one day. We all have a timetable, right? We all have a set day. Doesn't matter how many skin treatments you get. Doesn't matter how many massages you get, how many vitamins you eat, how much you eat organic, plant-based diets. One day, you are going to go. Every one of us. But the hope of the Christian life is that that is not the end. It is not final. You know what I hate about death? It feels so final. I'm a young pastor, but I've done way too many funerals. I've had to bury some loved ones who were near and dear. And when you go to a funeral, what do? You say goodbye to that person and you close that casket and you put that body in the ground. And it has this feeling of finality, doesn't it? It feels so irreversible. But you know, the joy of Easter is that Jesus reverses the irreversible. He takes away the sting of death. And he gives us the hope of new life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 says this. The Apostle Paul says, but the truth is that Christ has been raised up, the first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. I love that. Here's what he's saying is that what Jesus did, his resurrection is a foreshadowing. It's a picture of the hope that all of us as Christians have in him, that one day we too will be raised to new life. You see, we don't just have a sin problem. Many of you are aware that, you know, at the heart of what Christians believe is Jesus went to the cross to die for our sins. And of course, we believe that. But humanity doesn't just have a sin problem. Humanity has a death problem. If you read this Bible from cover to cover, you read about a God who created humanity in his image, which means that people were not initially designed for death. We were meant for life. But the curse of sin entered the picture. And with sin came the curse of death. And so Jesus solves our sin problem at the cross, but he solves our death problem with his resurrection. That's what the resurrection is all about. And what Paul's telling us is when we see the resurrection of Jesus, we celebrate here on Easter, it's a precursor, it's a preview, it's a movie trailer for what's to come for the rest of us. It's a preview. Let me ask you this. Have you ever seen a sad movie that has a happy ending? Have you ever seen a sad movie that really messed with your emotions and you were just hoping that it was going to work out, that they were going to get together, that they were going to patch things up and everything was going to work out and it was going to have a happy ending and it turns out that way and makes the whole movie worth it? Come on, ladies, track with me. At least I can count on you this morning, right? Me and my wife recently watched the movie Brooklyn. I don't know if you guys saw that movie at all. It just came out. And it's the story of an Irish girl who goes to New York to live the American dream. And she finds the love of her life, this good Italian boy. And they fall in love and they get married. And then tragedy strikes. See, my wife gets me sucked into these chick flicks. I'm way too manly to watch a movie like that. But listen, I've been married 13 years. I know you got to do what you got to do to keep your wife happy, right? So happy wife, happy life. So, we're watching this movie. And so she has to go back to Ireland because her sister dies. And she goes back to take care of her family. And while she's there, she runs into the most upstanding guy in the whole community, this good Irish guy who has feelings for her. And he begins to court her. And this little relationship starts to develop. And you're like, no, baby, no, you can't forget you got a husband back in New York. Good little Italian boy. He loves you. And you're just hoping she's going to go back, right? And for a moment, you think she's going to forget about him. Well, finally, she comes to her senses, right? And she realizes that Italian food is way better than Irish food. And so, come on, somebody. And so all the Italians said amen up in here. So she goes back to New York, right? And she reunites with her husband, and they all live happily ever after. And you can breathe a sigh of relief. It's good, right? And so what happens when you watch that movie the second time around? The second time around, maybe you get into the emotions of it a little bit and you enjoy it, but you can breathe easy because you know, you've seen the end. You know it all works out. And see, that's what the resurrection of Jesus Christ is all about. Jesus is saying, look, let me show you my power over death. Let me show you my power over this death problem that humanity has. And when you place your trust in me, when you place your faith in me, this is a preview. This is a precursor, a foreshadowing for what's to come. The hope of Jesus Christ, the hope of Easter, the hope of the resurrection is the hope of new life. That death is not final for us. And then we also have hope because we realize that God is in the business of raising dead things back to life, here and now. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." See what that tells me? That Jesus came to give us a new lease on life. So we're no longer defined by our past. We're no longer defined by our mistakes, by our failures, by our sin. Listen, Christianity is not about a bunch of perfect people gathering together to feel really good about their holy lives and holding hands and singing kumbaya. That is not what Christianity is about. A bunch of upstanding country club Christians who feel really good about themselves and we celebrate our holiness because we're better than everybody else. No, no, no. If you really get Christianity, if you really get the message of the gospel, Christianity is for people who have blown it. Christianity is for people who need a second chance. Christianity is for people who have had some areas of death in their life and we recognize our need for God's grace. And here's the beauty of it. Here's the promise in it. We actually recognize that this new life, this future hope, it comes to us in the present. It invades our lives. And we have new life in Christ. And so we're no longer defined by the times when we stumble, when we fail, when we mess up, but we just keep hoping. We just keep hoping. We just keep getting back up. We just keep dusting ourselves up. We just keep getting up one more time because God keeps giving us new life in Christ. Is that good news for you this morning? That's what this is all about. It's about his new life invading our lives. If Christians are anything, we're people of hope. Some of you are Christians this morning. You need to be reminded of that. Some of you are here and you're not quite sure what Christians believe. If Christians are anything, we're people who hold on to, we're prisoners of hope. We are chained and attached to the hope of Jesus Christ. Here's the second thing. Not only does the future invade the present, another thing happens. Eternal life invades the ordinary. Eternal life invades the ordinary. If you're taking notes, I want you to write that down this morning. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life when he looked at Martha. Romans chapter 6, verse 4, the Apostle Paul puts it this way. He says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Paul's explaining to us what baptism is all about. He says, when you are baptized, you go down into the waters. It's a symbol that you are going into the grave with Christ, you're dying to your sins, you're dying to your old self, you're going into those waters, you're washed, you're cleansed, and then you come back up and you're raised to new life in Christ. You no longer live the life you used to live, but you are a new person. You get a fresh start. You get a new lease on life. You're no longer defined by the habits and the hang-ups and the past and the failures, but you're filled with new life. Eternal life invades the ordinary. See, the hope of the resurrection is the hope of new life. That's what Easter is all about. In Christ, we are new creations. Let me put it to you this way. Jesus didn't just come to save you from something. Jesus came to make you into something. Are you with me this morning? Jesus didn't just come. Many of you could fill in the blanks. Jesus came to save me from my sins. The kids who were up here could probably tell you that much. But Jesus didn't just come to save you from something. If you really understand the gospel, this is going somewhere. Jesus came to make you into something. His son, his daughter, a new person with a new heart, with a new spirit, with a new mind. And that looks like something. That looks like something. It looks like new life. You know, at Easter time, my wife's side of the family is Ukrainian, and her family makes Ukrainian eggs. We have a picture for you this morning, these beautiful Ukrainian eggs. And my father-in-law, who's passed away, God rest his soul, he's kept the tradition alive. He used to teach the kids. He taught my wife and her brother and sisters how to make Ukrainian eggs. And he could do eggs like that. I mean, some even better. They would blow you away, the kind of eggs he would make. Now listen, Ukrainians don't play around. Those are not painted eggs. Those are dyed eggs. You dye every color and you cover it with beeswax to get each color, okay, from light to dark, and then you melt the wax away and you get this beautiful eggs. Ukrainians are not playing around. You gotta have some talent to do this, okay? I married one of them. She's the one who makes everything nice and pretty around here. And I am not Ukrainian, but I participate every year and I'm getting better every year. My wife just got it in her blood. Like she just does it with her eyes like blindfolded. And you know, I'm getting better every year. And I tell you what, 50 years from now, I'm gonna be really good. But we make these beautiful Ukrainian eggs, and it's just a reminder to me that we're works in progress. Just like these Ukrainian eggs are something that you have to put a lot of love and care and attention and kind of tedious work into. For people who have like short attention spans, you don't want to dye Ukrainian eggs, okay? You want to play video games or something like that, but Ukrainian eggs won't be your thing because they take work. You have to care for them. You have to put some work into them. And here's what I want to tell you today. I just have good news for you. If you would just say, Pastor Jeremy, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know my hang-ups. You don't know my faults and my failures. You don't know my secret sins and my addictions and the brokenness. Here's what I want to tell you. Listen, every one of us who is in Christ, we are works in progress. You are a work of art in progress. You are a masterpiece under construction because Jesus didn't just come to save you from something. He came to make you into something beautiful and wonderful. And that's what he does with our lives. That's how the resurrection impacts our lives. See, resurrection looks like something here and now. I want to speak to something for a moment. I don't want anybody in this place, no matter where you are in your faith journey, dismissing Christianity as some sentimental little belief that we're going to just die and go to heaven one day and live a nice life in heaven. No, no, no. The hope of the resurrection, the hope of Easter, the hope of the gospel is for here and now. It's about eternal life and invading ordinary life. Most people are just going through life, but when you know Jesus, his life is going through you. That is the difference. Resurrected life looks like something here and now. And here's what it looks like from the scriptures. It looks like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. How many of you would say we could use a little more of that in the world? No matter what you believe today, I think you can agree that that's a good thing. Here's what resurrected life looks like. It looks like forgiveness instead of bitterness. It looks like generosity instead of self-centeredness. It looks like love instead of hate. It looks like beauty and goodness and truth. That's what the resurrected life looks like. And Christians are people who are humble enough and honest to admit that we strive for all of these things. But for all of our striving, we come up short, don't we? We fail and we mess up and we make mistakes like everybody else. But here's the reality. We don't get stuck and we don't give up because you know why? We know that our hope and our strength doesn't lie in ourselves. We know that attaining these things isn't about our self-determination. It isn't about listening to power tapes and getting all jazzed up and self-motivated. It isn't about how self-disciplined we can be. No, our hope for new life is literally rooted in the very person of Jesus Christ. The very person of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same Spirit that resides within us. If you're a believer, you have the very resurrection life of Jesus Christ inside of you. If you're here today and you're just kind of checking church out and you wonder why Christians have joy, why they can raise their hands and sing and clap in a movie theater, it's because of the joy and the hope that we have in Jesus. And it is a future hope, and we long for the resurrection. We long for a day when God comes down and fixes this broken planet up, when there's a day when there's no more death and no more crying, no more sickness, no more pain, when we don't have to say goodbye to loved ones that we love anymore and put them in a grave. We believe in the resurrection. We believe in a God who's a God of justice, and he's going to show up, and the bad guys aren't going to get to do their thing. thing. There won't be a broken world with poverty and famine and terrorists shooting people like we saw and blowing themselves up this week like we saw in the news. Christians long for a day, just like the Jews did thousands of years ago, just like Martha did, for a day when God will show up and rectify all of that. A new heavens, a new earth. We long for that. But here's the beautiful thing of being a Christian. We get a taste of that in the here and now. And it starts with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a precursor. It's like a movie trailer. You ever go to the movies and you're sitting there and a trailer comes on and there's a movie that comes on that you really want to see? And what do? You start nudging the person next to you. Dude, that's going to be a good one, right? When we read about the resurrection, this is the hope that Christians have. We have a hope for a resurrected life. We have hope for a resurrected life. We know in the future it's going to be fully consummated. It's going to fully come to pass, but we get a taste of that here and now, and we live in that. And so as we close today, I want to read for you the rest of the story. The rest of the story. We're going to fast forward to verse 38. We're still in John chapter 11. After Jesus has this interaction with Martha, he goes to Mary, and Mary has the same questions. Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would be alive. And Jesus goes and he weeps because Jesus was fully God, but he was fully human. And he loved his brother Lazarus, who's a dear friend. And he was hurting just like everybody else. But he went to the tomb on a mission in verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Does that sound familiar? Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Now, don't you just love the way women think, right? Lord, you're going to need some air freshener. Somebody better break open some Febreze because it's not going to smell too good. Brother's been dead up in there for 4 days. It's not going to be good, Jesus. You do not want to roll that stone away. My wife would have been spraying disinfectant everywhere. You got to be in my house when she cleans, man. Verse 40, then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. As we come to the close of the service today, I want to say to you, this is what Easter is all about. Easter is all about the hope of the resurrection. That's what the gospel, the good news is about. This is what Christians believe. At the core of what we believe is that we can experience the resurrection life of Jesus Christ here and now. It's not just about the future. We thank God for the future hope that we have, but Christians believe that we can experience the resurrected life of Christ here and now. And here's what I love. Listen to me for a moment. In verse 44, I love what Jesus says to him. He says, take off the grave clothes and let him go. See, Jesus didn't just leave Lazarus all wrapped up with these bandages and these symbols of death and baggage. That's not what being a Christian is all about, limping through life and barely making it. That's not what resurrection life is about. And some of you, you got some hurts. You got some baggages. You got some scars. You're maybe a believer of Jesus Christ, but you've got some grave clothes on you. And Jesus is saying, it's time to take those off and embrace the new life that I have for you. Some of you, you're not a believer, but you've been deeply hurt. And maybe you gave up on faith. You gave up on God, or church has never really resonated for you because you have some disappointments. You have some hurts. And Jesus is saying, I'm the one who can call you forth into a new life. If you just leave that old stuff behind, that baggage that you have that's holding you back, I have a whole new life for you. So Jesus calls Lazarus forth into a risen life to live in the light of the resurrection. Now just think about this for a moment. He says, bring him out here. Take those grave clothes off him. He's not going to walk around like a zombie. This is a new man. He's got a new lease on life. Think about how Lazarus's identity would have been changed from that point on. Can you imagine how that changed his reputation? Boy, what a conversation starter at a party, right? Hey, you're that guy Lazarus, right? You were dead for like 4 days in a tomb. And Lazarus was like, yeah, that's me. That's me. You're the one that Jesus raised from the dead. Dude would have been like a walking billboard testimony for Jesus' ministry. Would have been kind of hard to argue and deny that Jesus was something special with Lazarus walking around because he had a resurrection-shaped identity. It literally shaped who he was. And here's what I want to say to you today. Easter is about us embracing a resurrection-shaped identity. It's about us living differently in the here and now. It's a gospel for here. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for future hope. But I need a gospel. I need a reality. I need a truth that's for here and now when I wake up in the morning to live in this world, to live in this broken world that we find ourselves in, this broken condition. And that's what we have in the gospel. I'm telling you, I'm a follower of Jesus, not because I grew up in church, not because my daddy's a pastor, not because I went to Sunday school, not because I went to Bible college and seminary. I thank God for all of those things, but I'm standing before you right now and I'm doing with my life what I'm doing and I'm preaching what I'm preaching because I have had an encounter with Jesus Christ and I've experienced a personal resurrection and I know who I could be apart from him. I know how much I need his grace every day. I've seen his work in my life. I know how he has saved me, how he is saving me and how he will fully save me. I know his difference in my life and I'm telling you, I've seen for 36 years, people's lives changed by Jesus Christ. People set free, people healed, broken people put back together, drug addicts just set free, miraculous healings, people's lives totally changed. And that's why I'm standing here, because Jesus is alive and the resurrection impacts the way people live. And so my question for you today as we close this morning is, what would resurrected life look like for you? What would that look like in your life? If Jesus is calling us to a personal resurrection, what would that look like for you? I want you to stand with me this morning as we close in prayer. And I'm going to pray for you this morning. First of all, I want to pray for anybody in this place today. Just stay in an attitude of just worship. And this is a sacred time when we reflect on the message. We're going to worship with another song in just a moment. But this is your opportunity just to reflect on the message for a moment. First of all, I want to pray for anybody in this place today who would say, Pastor, I have a longing in my heart for what you described, to know that resurrected life, to not just go through life ordinary like everybody else, but to truly have purpose and meaning. And I'm at the place where today I want to put my faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you believed as a child. Maybe you went to Sunday school. Maybe you were catechized. Maybe you used to go to church. Maybe this is your first time in a Bible teaching church like this. But you would say, today's the day. I want to be able to mark it down. Easter Sunday, March 27, 2016, I made a decision to place my faith in Jesus Christ, to trust him. And I may not have all the answers and I may not have all of the Bible theology, but today I'm at the place where I'm ready to try something and place my faith in Jesus Christ. I want to pray for you. We're going to pray for you in just a moment. And then I want to pray for all of you today, because maybe you're a believer. Maybe you're a person of faith, some level of faith. You've made that personal commitment to Christ, but you got some baggage. You know, you got some grave clothes. You got some scars. You got some things that you're still carrying around, some hurts and some disappointments. And I believe Jesus is calling you today, speaking to you today, and he's saying, take off the grave clothes and embrace the new life. Whatever it is, you got to let it go and give it to him and embrace the new life that he has for you. And here's the last thing I want to pray for you today. I think all of us can pray for this, whether you're a Christian, not a Christian, not sure what you believe. I think all of us could use more hope. How many of you could use more hope in your life? I don't think there's anybody in this place who would say, no, I don't really need any more hope. I'm good. I want to pray that you would know the hope of Jesus Christ. Because if nothing else, I hope you leave this place knowing today that God loves you. He's got purpose for you. He cares for you. And we believe Jesus came to give you new life. So let me pray for you this morning. Father, I pray, first of all, for any person in this place who would say, I want to place my faith in Jesus Christ. I turn to him today and I trust in him. I make a decision to follow him. Would you just pray with me today? You can just echo this prayer under your breath or in your heart, but you have to respond in your own way. And so Jesus, we turn to you. We place our faith in you. Jesus, we believe that you came for us, that you died for us. Just literally mouth those words. I believe you died for me. I believe you resurrected for me. And I trust in you for my salvation. I admit my need for forgiveness today. I turn from my sins and I place my trust in you. I believe, Jesus, that you are the Son of God. If you prayed that prayer today, I believe Jesus heard you. And Lord, I pray for every person in this place today who needs to shed those grave clothes, who's carrying around hurts and baggage and things of the past. God, I pray that you set them free today to know the new life that they have in Christ. May they embrace their resurrection identity today, who they are in light of the resurrection. And God, for every person in this place, that they would know your hope. God, we embrace your hope today. God, if nothing else, let it be said of us as Christians that we hold on to hope. God, we're anchoring ourselves to the hope that we have in Jesus. No matter what we're walking through, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we've been through, God, today we anchor ourselves to the hope that we have in Jesus Christ in his resurrection. We thank you for it today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.